For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think Tesla just made a huge mistake.
I think Elon just made a checkmate move. Find out why next on In Depth.
Now, do you like to keep your brain sharp?
Yeah, I'd like to, but I mean, lately, like a lot of us, I've been feeling like my brain is getting dull.
Well, I have a solution for you.
Like what? A brain sharpening machine?
Well, kind of. We're sponsored by our friends at Brilliant. Brilliant has courses on all kinds of subjects to get your brain sharp again, like cryptocurrency, logic, and computer science.
But how is this any different than boring lectures, which I hate, by the way?
Yes, I know how much you hate boring lectures, and you're exactly right. Research has shown that problem solving is way more effective than lectures, and that's how Brilliant works. I like Brilliant's courses because they are laid out like a story and broken down into little pieces so that you can tackle them a little bit at a time.
Oh, that's cool, because I was just going to say, I usually don't have much time either.
So I'm taking a course on probability, statistics, and finance, and I'm really enjoying it. I also feel, well, sharper.
Ooh, I'm going to try this one. It's a four-course path on science foundations.
Join Jesse and I and a community of 8 million learners and educators today.
To support our channel and learn more about Brilliant, go to brilliant.org/nowyouknow and sign up for free.
And also the first 200 people that go to that link will get 20% off the annual subscription. All right, so as I said at the top of the show, I think Tesla just made a huge bad mistake. And what I'm talking about here is NACS, which is the North American Charging Standard, or basically it's the Tesla Charger, but they've renamed it.
Okay, and what's wrong with it?
Well, I mean, didn't you hear? Elon's basically opening up the charging standard for free, and he's making it so that non-Teslas, especially over in Europe right now, can charge at Tesla superchargers, and I think that's a huge mistake. We even made an episode about this. Remember, it's called It's the Supercharger Stupid? We had that whole in-depth, and it talked about that the superchargers are Tesla's moat, and if Tesla opens up that moat and lowers the drawbridge and lets all these other brands use their superchargers, then basically Tesla's giving away one of their strongest features. I mean, look, the supercharger network, it's easy, it's fast, there's charging everywhere. So you basically got rid of range anxiety for EVs. And we know what we're talking about because we drive non-Teslas. We drive Rivians and Ford F-150s and Leafs. So we know that, you know, Tesla is great.
There's a huge difference between driving a non-Tesla here, especially in the United States, versus driving a Tesla, because the charging networks are completely different. But I really don't think that this is the lowering of the drawbridge that you're making it out to be.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, once you let everybody charge at your supercharger network that you spent so much time and money building, you just gave away everything for free.
Okay, but here's the thing. Tesla has announced the North American Charging Standard.
I just said that.
Yes. That is the connector and all of the stuff that goes behind it. So the way that things charge. That does not necessarily mean that they're opening up their superchargers.
Okay, but what about Europe? If we look right here at this map, these are all the superchargers in Europe right now that non-Teslas can charge at. Now, I know it's not all of them, but it's a lot of them.
And here's the map of all the superchargers, including the ones that non-Teslas can charge at. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that it is much, much, much denser.
Yeah, but I will point out that you can drive pretty much from one end of Europe to the other on the superchargers that they've opened up.
I agree. And I think that it is, look, it's a big benefit to non-Tesla drivers in Europe. I think that Tesla is going to be able to turn on quite a bit of revenue from these drivers as these supercharger stations, which are generally not completely packed most of the time, are going to now have more visitors.
Okay, so that's your answer, that they basically gave away everything, but they're making a little bit of money on the electricity?
Okay, it's a decent enough charging network. These open Tesla superchargers, that's a decent enough looking network.
Okay.
And in places like the Netherlands, Tesla has basically been forced to open all of their superchargers.
Right.
And Europe has a lot of power when it comes to that sort of thing. And I think the Netherlands had probably the most force to bear on Tesla. But look at the rest of Europe. Tesla didn't open all of their superchargers. And okay. So what does that do? What does that do to the Audi e-tron driver who is pulling in at a Tesla supercharger station that they are allowed to charge at? That means that they're going to have to pull out their Tesla app, and they're going to have to do a couple of things and give them the credit card information to plug in their Audi e-tron. And what are they going to be doing while they're sitting there waiting for their car to be charged?
They're going to watch YouTube on their Audi e-tron screen.
No, they won't, right? They will see other people in Teslas watching YouTube and Netflix on their screens, and they might even talk to those people and talk about electric car stuff, which is something that happens a lot at electric car charging stations, right?
Okay, but I mean, I don't understand what are you
having
driving at?
A denser network is a huge advantage. And so by Tesla opening up superchargers in Europe, but not all of them, what they're doing is still creating a big incentive for you to buy a Tesla.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I see what you're saying. So you're saying they're basically kind of advertising that if you were driving a Tesla, you just passed a whole bunch of superchargers on your way here to get to this
and
one.
And you were going, oh, am I going to make it?
And you couldn't pull into those because they weren't open to you.
Yes.
But if they were, if you were in a Tesla, you would have been able to charge all along.
So here's my thought here. In Europe, they have adopted the CCS Type 2 plug. In the United States, Tesla has opened up their North American charging standard to say, hey, you know, this CCS Type 1 plug is enormous. It's really expensive. It's really ugly. And honestly, it breaks all the time. Mm-hmm. So what they've done is they said, we will allow other people to use this. What they didn't say is that they're opening all of their supercharger stations.
So you think they might do what they did in Europe, which is to open enough of them so that you could get across the country, but not all of them. And so therefore, if you're driving a Ford F-150, you'd be like, gosh darn it, I wish I could stop at that supercharger.
And that is going to avert two different problems for Tesla. If Tesla were to open all of their superchargers all at once, and I mean, obviously, most EVs in America are Teslas, but most non-Tesla EVs in America have CCS or CHAdeMO charging ports. And so they don't have the Tesla plug. They wouldn't be able to plug in immediately. They'd need to go get adapters and stuff like that. But what could happen within a few years, if the North American charging standard was adopted, would be that all of the charging stations would be completely full. We're going to have a lot of different EVs pulling in that can only charge at like 50 or 150 kilowatts.
That's going to gum up the whole works.
And so that would be a problem. If Tesla doesn't open up all their superchargers and they just open up a select few,
like they did in Europe,
this would mean that basically some of the superchargers would get gummed up, but many of them, for Tesla owners specifically, would never be packed or full.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Oh, and this would also let Tesla grab some federal money. Like, there's that $7.5 billion with the federal money for charging, and they could grab some of that to build chargers. This points me to that one that we talked about in Tesla Time News recently, the Quartzsite, Arizona, 88-stall supercharger. We were wondering why they're building it.
Which is right next to, right across the street from, a 36-stall supercharger. And we were going, why are they doing that?
So now, why are they doing it?
I mean, I kind of get it. It's the only basically civilization between L.A. and Phoenix, Arizona. I know that there's fringes, but then it's right in the middle of the desert. So there's not a lot going on, which means if you want to drive any kind of EV, you are going to need to charge right there.
Oh, so you think they built it because this might be one of the first ones they open up to non-Tesla EVs?
And so, if you had maybe two supercharger stations, one of them could be open, one of them could be closed just for Teslas, then that 88 stall could be open, have, you know, Bolts and e-trons and Jaguar I-Paces or Ford F-150s and Rivians plugged in there charging. And then across the street, you could still have the Tesla one, which could never get fully gummed up with non-Tesla EVs. It's the only thing that makes sense to me, because every single picture that we've seen of this 36-stall supercharger in between Phoenix and LA isn't that full.
I just don't think you've addressed my point about the moat and opening the drawbridge. I feel like as soon as Tesla does this, they're going to eliminate the whole charging problem that all these other EVs have. And they're going to solve it, which is good for sustainability. I'm all for that. But from a Tesla shareholder point of view, I think I should be mad at Elon.
Look, Tesla's mission is to accelerate the advent of electric mobility. And I think that a lot of people take that to mean Tesla's going to do everything in their power to, you know, they're just going to give away everything that they can. I don't think that that's necessarily what they're going to do. But what EVs are running up against right now is a perception problem. Mm-hmm. People, regular, average people who haven't driven an EV, have seen EVs but don't know which ones they are and don't know anything about charging, what is their experience with an EV? They're going to go, well, Tesla's a little weird, so I'm going to look at the companies that I'm used to. I'm going to look at Chevy. I'm going to look at Ford. I'm going to see what do they have for options. And so if they're interested at all, they're going to probably be looking at those brands. And those brands sell EVs. But when they get reviewed by car reviewers or magazines or stuff like that, the biggest problem is always charging infrastructure. And it's always, I went on a trip and I had nowhere to charge and I pulled into an Electrify America station and all of the chargers were broken.
So I think what you're saying then is very nuanced. You're saying that I will go buy that Chevy Equinox EV. I will be able to pull in at some Tesla superchargers and charge it. So and I will be able to get to grandma's
house.
It'll
save my butt when the Electrify America station's out.
Okay. And then you're saying once I become a EV user and I get used to it, I will then learn the nuances of EV driving and I'll go, my next car should be a Tesla for all these reasons, including the better charging network.
Because by having it completely segregated, by having Teslas charge over here and other EVs charge over there, there is less intermingling. And so I've met a lot of people who drive non-Tesla EVs, and they just have no concept as to how much Teslas cost, how the supercharger network works,
how easy it is,
anything about autopilot.
Okay, so I get it. So once we're all pulling into the same places, we see all the different cars, we talk to different people, we learn more, is what you're saying.
I think that that's one possibility. And I think that...
And is this what you're talking about Elon's chess move, that like he saw this many moves away?
Yes. And we're still a few of those moves away. The North American charging standard is not a standard, right? It's only a standard with, well, the majority of EVs in America, which is Tesla. And it's going to be adopted by Aptera. That's a big move. I know that Aptera is a small company and most people haven't heard of them, but having just another company that's going to adopt it, the next company that adopts it, I hope that there are many, that's going to be the final nail in the coffin
for
the CCS
charging
standard, because then it's going to be like, yeah, we are going to move to the sleek, well-made, well, time-proven design of the Tesla North American charging standard.
But what you're saying is it's almost a checkmate move, whereas if I'm Ford and I do adopt NACS, that seems to help me, but it will eventually kill me.
And this is why they might not go for it. And so this is kind of, this is going to be the battle. I think that Tesla's advantage is that they are so far ahead in terms of production that they are going to have a bigger and bigger lead every year. I mean, I know that people are saying, well, they're starting to lose market share. Starting to lose market share doesn't affect the cumulative thing.
Right.
If Tesla still has more than 50% market share in the United States, which they do, then they are continually selling more and more and more of these EVs. And that means that the proportion of EVs that are Teslas is greater.
Now, you bring up a really good point. It's a nuanced point. I think only people watching who drive EVs and actually who've driven both, I hate to say that, would get it. And that's why I'm a little bit afraid about doing this episode, to be honest, because I know a lot of you down below are going to say, like, I drive a Bolt and I don't get what you're saying, or I drive a Tesla and I don't get what you're saying. We do drive both. And so I think that we are in a kind of unique position, and not many people out there have driven both. So I would be interested in your comments. Let us know if you think we're completely crazy. Is Tesla making a huge mistake, like I initially said, and they're opening up the moat? Or has Elon thought many moves ahead and he has basically already won the chess game? We just haven't seen it yet.
Because once Tesla has fully cemented itself as the charging ruler of the world, which it already has, but the only problem is it hasn't let in the other people. Once they are in and assimilated.
That's a good point.
I mean, there's not going to be any other game in town. Electrify right. America has proven that they don't take care of their charging stations. Yep. I hope that NACS is going to improve the reliability, but I can't prove that. And so I think that Tesla is going to be the de facto charging station of America.
Right.
And once that happens, I'm sorry to say, Tesla's going to be able to run the game, and they're going to say, well, we are going to close that station off because, you know what, we found that it was too busy, and we have to look after our customers first.
Or we're going to charge more money for it, or whatever they have to do. Yeah.
And this is just another little move doesn't really make any sense to us, because most analysts are looking quarter to quarter.
Yeah, and most analysts don't drive any EVs at all. And if you would do us a favor and hit the like button, it makes a huge difference for this channel. It helps share this video with more people. And make sure you're a subscriber. We love new subscribers. We welcome you aboard. And don't forget, if you want to head over to our Patreon, for as little as $1 a month, you can watch all of our Patreon bonus stories, where we bring you insights that we don't share with just everybody.
And that, of course, is every week. We'll see you next time. Now you know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.